Thanks for tuning in one last time to learn before Yontif together. Happy to see people thirsty for Torah. Baruch Hashem. I want to begin tonight with three stories, three stories that I think have one theme. The first story is a story that is somewhat well known about the Kotzker, but I saw a particular nusach of the story and I want to share it this way. There were a group of Hasidim who traveled one time to spend the Yom Noraim with the Kotzker. And they came to Kotzk and was at that period of the Kotzker's life where he closeted himself away for a long time and he was not accessible. He went into hiding, basically. And there's many different suggestions as to what that period was about, but the Kotzker was not out in the public. And Rosh Hashanah went by, and Yom Kippur went by, and there was no sign of the Kotzker. And these Hasidim had left their families to travel a long way, many of them, to spend the Yom Noraim with the Kotzker. Sukkot came, and there was still no sign. The Hasidim, they were broken. They were mamish broken after everything that they had done to be by the Kotzker. And finally, in the middle of the Hakafos, on Simchas Torah, the Kotzker comes out of his room. For the first time, they had been waiting weeks to see the Kotzker. And now, finally, the Kotzker emerges out onto the dance floor, and everyone looks up at him. And the Kotzker screams out to them. He says, "Ma atem oisim kan? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you here?" And the Hasidim were staring at the Kotzker. They weren't sure what to respond. And he screamed again, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? What do you want from me? Why are you here?" And finally, this one young chassid approached the Rebbe, had the audacity to come a bit closer, and he said to the Rebbe, he said, "Rebbe, here, let me tell you like this." He said, "You know, when I was a little boy and I reached the age of wearing tzitzis, so my mother put tzitzis on me when she would get me dressed in the morning. My mother gave me tzitzis. And when I turned 13 and it was time for me to wear a tefillin, my father bought me tefillin. My father taught me how to put on my tefillin, and my father put tefillin on me. And then my father took me and gave me to a malame to teach me Torah. So my Rebbe taught Torah to me. But this chassid said to the Kotzker, but this tefillin and my father and my Rebbe gave me Torah. And I came here because I'm Ashu who may ask me. I want something. I feel like so much has been given to me, has been programmed into my life. The tzitzis, the tefillin, the learning, the mitzvos. But I came here because I have a feeling that in this place, I can learn how to find myself." And the Kotzker said back to him, and this is the nusach from one particular sefer called Avnei Shlomo, this is how Revolbi, Zatzal, would tell the story. "Im kach oz tov shabosim." If that's true, then it's a good thing that you came here. You came to the right place. Because here in Kotzk, we could teach you how to think for yourself. Story number one. Story number two is found in the biography of Rebbetzin Henny Machlis. The Machlis is Rav Mordechai Machlis. He should be healthy and well. And his Rebbetzin, Alav HaShalom, Alav HaShalom, Henny Machlis, amazing people who opened their homes to Jews and non-Jews of all walks of life, inviting them to their home for Shabbos meals. A Shabbos at the Machlis is definitely something to remember. I'm sure there are people who are here who've had the opportunity. And in her biography, after she passed away, they tell a story that one time there was a fellow, a college-age student, who came to spend the Shabbos with the Machlis. This is a very cynical and negative person, and he asked many questions throughout the meal, and he wasn't very respectful, despite the fact that he was getting a free Shabbos meal. And as he was leaving, as he got up to leave, Moshe Machlis, who was 7 years old at the time, the child of Rebbetzin Henny and Reb Mordechai, looked at this college-age student, who happened to have a nose ring in his nose, and he said to him, "What's with that dumb ring in your nose?" as the fellow walked out the door. So this fellow was, you know, not the most polite guest that they ever had. So he says back to them, "What's with that dumb thing on your head?" pointing to his yarmulke. And 7-year-old Moshe Machlis looked at the college-age student and he said to him, "Oh, this is to remind me that there's something above me, that there's something greater than me, that there's something better than me that I'm striving to connect to. So that's the answer to this. So I ask you again, what's with that dumb thing in your nose?" And at this point, the college-age student left, you know, dumbfounded, not sure exactly what to reply. And he wrote in his diary, when he got back to where he was staying in his dorm room, he wrote, "Just imagine, that little kid knows why he's wearing a yarmulke, but I have no idea why I'm wearing a nose ring." Story number two. Story number three was shared with me many years ago by a dear friend of mine, who said he was traveling one time. I don't know if he was on a plane, or he was on the train, he was on a bus. And he was identifiably a religious Jew, an Orthodox Jew, and someone sat down next to him and struck up a conversation with him. And they got talking, and it became clear that this person was a Baal Tshuva, a person who was finding his way back to a life of observant Judaism. And he says to my friend in conversation, again, my friend who's identifiably a Torah Jew, so he says to me, when did you choose to become religious? And my friend started thinking to himself, I never did choose to become religious. I kind of always just was religious. This is how my parents raised me. Now, it happens to be this friend actually went through a bit of his own turmoil in his life, but he still felt on a certain level that he eventually, you know, graduated from the high school version of himself, and he went to yeshiva, and they programmed him a certain way, and he never really chose it. And he said the question really plagued him. He was sitting next to someone who chose their Yiddishkeit, and he was thinking to himself, when did I choose my Yiddishkeit? And maybe I never did choose my Yiddishkeit. There's a lot of lessons in all of these stories, but I think on a certain level, the common denominator is, and it's the question I think we need to ask ourselves when we come to the Yom Tov of Shuas, why do we live the lives that we live? Have we chosen it? The fellow who came, the chassid who came to the Kotzker saying, my mother gave me tzitzis, my father gave me tefillin, my Rebbe gave me Torah, but what did I choose for myself? Why am I living the way that I live? Have I chosen my life? And if I haven't, why not? Why have I not chosen my life? Why do I have this nose ring or this yarmulke on my head? Right? And when did I choose to become religious? Why do I keep Shabbos? Why do I keep kosher? Why do I believe in Torah? Do I have an answer to that question? And we should have answers to that question. We should have really good answers to that question. We refer to Hashem in the Birchas HaTorah as a Nosein HaTorah, which is in Lashon Hove, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always interested in giving us the Torah. That's true every single day of our lives. The question that we ask ourselves on Shavuos is not so much about whether or not Hashem wants to give, it's a question of our desire to receive. What do we want our relationship with Torah to look like? As we renew that relationship, as we show up to be mekabel the Torah once again, yes, I know it's called Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the giving of the Torah, but in a certain sense we refer to it as Kabbalas HaTorah, as the receiving of the Torah. What do I want to receive? What am I prepared to choose? I paid a Shiva call earlier today to Rebecca Katz from our shul. Her father passed away very recently. And she was describing her father, and I was very nispal by the way she was describing her father's desire to choose a life of Torah and mitzvahs. It wasn't given to him easily. It wasn't an obvious choice. It was something that he pursued. And I said to her at the end, I said, you know, your father was just had such an interest in growing and in learning and in deepening his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and deepening his connection to Yiddishkeit. As she described that her father used to always challenge her in a loving way, but would challenge her always with the question to ask herself and to really answer it. Not just off the cuff, but to really spend your life answering the question, who are you and what do you believe? And she said throughout her life, she comes back to that question. And she tries to give that over to her children, that they shouldn't be robotic Jews. Who are we and what do we believe? To answer that question. To not just take it for granted that we have the Torah waiting for us. But to really ask yourself, what do I want my relationship with Torah to look like? What should it look like? What does it look like? And what should it look like? This question that her father would ask her, Olav HaShalom, that her father used to ask her, is really the question that we all know from the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Aleph begins, Yesod HaChasidus V'Shoresh HaAvodah Tamimahu, SheYisbarer V'Yisames Eitza La'odah Macho V'Aso Ba'olamo. To clarify the question that should plague all of us, the question that we should constantly be thinking about and working on and hopefully coming up with an answer so that we can live a life confidently with the answer. She is a barer to clarify vias ames and to come to the truthful conclusion of ma chova so ba'olamo. What is my purpose in this world? What is my personal mission in this world? Ulama tzarech shiasim ma bato magmaso. What am I striving for? B'chol esher hu amel kol yimei chayev. What is the substance of my life? What have I chosen to make of my time, to make of my life? That's the famous line from the Ramchal at the beginning of the first parak of Mesilas Yesharim. I imagine it's familiar to some of us. There's another line from the Ramchal, perhaps a little bit less famous, but equally important. And it comes from a small treatise that he wrote called Derech Eitz Chaim. And in there, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, writes, Halo ha'odom rov shnos yamov omed lachshov cheshbonos asakav. A person spends so much of his life trying to figure out how to make ends meet. Which mustard should I buy in the supermarket? You know, do I want the spicy brown or do I want the one that's honey Dijon? Or we spend so much time picking out our choices for lunch or for dinner sometimes. or what product to buy. You know, should I buy this white shirt or should I buy that white shirt? Should I buy these shoes or those shoes? People spend so much time thinking about their shoes. I often like think about it. Like, I don't know anyone's shoes from shul. You know, so for all you are worried about like the right wearing the right pair of shoes to shul, I don't know what shoes you wear. I don't care what shoes you wear. So we should also care a little bit less. But we spend a lot of time. We're worried about these things. We're busy with the things of this world. V'lama lo yasim elavavo. Why do we not take the heart, says the Ramchal? Afilu sha'achas. Gam lezos lachshov machsheves mamish mahu. To ask ourselves the question of mahu. But what am I? Who am I? And what do I believe? V'lama b'la olam. What am I doing in this world? What's Hashem's intention in creating me? What's my purpose here? And what's going to be the bottom line of all of my life's accomplishments? What's it going to add up to? What do I want my decisions in this world to reflect? Who am I? And in what do I believe? And I think that, again, is the question we ask ourselves approaching Shavuos. Kabbalah Satorah. Hashem is no sein Torah. Hashem is giving plenty of Torah every day of our life. But what do we want to receive? What have we chosen? And what do we want to choose this year once again? I was sitting at a bas mitzvah a year ago with Rabbi Larry Rothweck, Shlita, from our neighborhood. And we were discussing a drasha that he had given from the year Tafshin Ayin Gimel, about 7 years ago. An amazing drasha that he gave on Shavuos, and I was very captivated by the idea. I asked him afterwards to email me the drasha, so I have a piece of it in front of me. And he said he spent that Shavuos asking his kehila to pretend, to imagine for a moment that you were undergoing the conversion process. What are the questions that we ask a prospective convert? You want to join the Jewish people, you heard about our religion, you're attracted to it. What are the standards that we expect for a person who wants to opt in? Not someone who's born into it, but a person who chooses to undergo that very powerful and meaningful process of conversion, which we certainly don't sell on anyone, we don't push on anyone. But someone who's sincere, someone who's curious, they've studied Torah, they're interested in accepting the Jewish religion. What are the questions we ask? So listen to some of these questions. These are the questions we ask a prospective convert. Do you accept God as the one eternal God, creator of the universe? Do you accept that God is no physical form and cannot be depicted in any image? Do you accept that God, as the giver of the Torah, both written and oral, to the Jewish people? Do you believe that Hashem gave us Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh? Do you promise to faithfully adhere to the commandments of the Torah, to observe, for example, Shabbos, Kashrus, the holidays, the ethical obligations of Torah, the laws of family purity, prayer, tzedakah, Torah study, and all the other mitzvahs of the Torah, those you have learned and those you will yet learn in the future? Number 5, do you renounce all other religions and faiths you may have professed in the past? Do you sever your ties to those religious institutions and accept the Torah and the religion of the God of Israel as the one true religion? Do you understand, question 6, that until now, as a non-Jew, you are not subject to any of the Torah's punishments for failure to observe the mitzvos? But after conversion, you will be subject to all of those penalties for violation of the law and all of the rewards for its observance. Number 7, do you agree to embrace the history, destiny, and fate of the Jewish people as your own, even knowing full well that the Jewish people has been and can even today be subjected to persecution and, God forbid, martyrdom? And lastly, and again, I'm not saying that this is the exclusive list, but the last one that I'm going to pose to you right now is, do you accept that the Mashiach has yet to come and you await his arrival each and every day? Rabbi Rothweck described to me, we were sitting together, he said, it's such a powerful experience. I've never seen it. I've never been to a conversion. I've never watched it happen. I've never sat with a Beis Din and seen this happen. But you can imagine it's a very moving experience to watch someone who's choosing all of this. And Rabbi Rothweck said to me, he said, I'm jealous of them. Because I never really had the opportunity to, so to speak, formally answer these questions, to choose it. On a certain level, we didn't have that opportunity. Most of us right now who are listening right now did not have that opportunity. But maybe that's what Shavuos is about. To make myself a kli to be mekabel, not just to be on the receiving end, the passive receiving end of matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah, but to be someone who's standing with open arms, choosing Torah. I want to bring Torah to me. I want to choose Torah. I want to select Torah. I want to accept Torah upon myself willingly, knowing all of those things and answering all of those questions. We've heard of the Medrash that the Jewish people overslept on the day of Kabbalah Satorah. It's a very difficult Medrash. It's based on the pasuk in Shemos Perek Yotes, Vayotze Moshe Es Ha'am, that Moshe was Yoitza. He brought out the people, the Kras Elokim, in a machana, and stood them at the foot of the mountain. Moshe had to drag them out. Explains the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer that they overslept. It's the time of the year where the weather is nice, and it's easy to stay in bed. Although Chazal seem to think that in the winter it's easier to stay in bed, in the summer months it's nice to stay in bed. I guess it's always nice to stay in bed, okay. But it's a really hard medrash to understand, because, come on, Klal Yisrael, the entire Klal Yisrael, they overslept, and we're going to stay up all night, for those who have the strength or desire to do such a thing, to be metakein somehow, this is oversleeping. It's very hard to understand. Rav Shimon Schwab, in his Mayan Beis HaShoev and Parshas Yisrael, says, Chas v'shalom, the Jewish people did not oversleep. The Jewish people went to sleep because the Jewish people thought, and very understandably so, that Matan Torah hu bebechinas nevuah. Matan Torah is some type of receiving. If we're going to receive, Moshe told me you're going to receive the word of God. Well, how do you receive the word of God? Unless a Moshe Rabbeinu, who speaks to Hashem ponim upon him, the way to speak to God is to enter into some type of dreamlike state. So the Jews didn't oversleep. The Jews thought that was the appropriate way to be mekabel the Torah. They went to sleep. They entered into that state of nevuah. They went into their bed, says Rav Schwab, lekabel chezion hanevuah b'chalom halayla mitoch shena. That's what they thought was the optimal state, the most realistic state for them to be mekabel the Torah. The Imre Emes understood this as well. He writes in his Likutim that the Jewish people prepared for Kabbalah's Torah, but they thought that the way to receive the Torah is to be mevatel oneself, to give oneself over to God. What better way to give myself over to Hashem than by turning off my mind and turning off my senses on a certain level and just surrendering to Hashem? Or as the Divrei Yisrael, as the Majid Rebbe explained, Lifnei mi atam etarim, that up to the 50th day we prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah by counting the days of Sfira. Lifnei mi is Gematria 50. Prior to day 50, atam etarim. But me, when you get to day 50, mitar eschem avirim shema shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives you the Torah, so you just make yourself passive to receive the Torah. It's a powerful thought, it's a good limud zchus, but at the end of the day, we stay up Shuas night, those of us who are able to, because we're trying to fix something. So obviously something was broken, we did something wrong. Well, what was wrong about going to sleep? And the answer perhaps is, I've given other answers in the past, but I think perhaps the answer tonight is, that Hashem doesn't want us to be passive in Kabbalah Satorah. It's not just Zman Matan Torah Sena, the giving of the Torah. It's also a zman of Kabbalah Satorah. Like a convert who says, I want to choose this. It's not being thrust upon me. Yes, kafa leim har kegigis. I know you're going to ask the question. But God put the mountain over our head. The Gemara in Shabbos, Hashem forced us into it. But the Jews also said, nasa v'nishma. Rav Soloveitchik, in The Lonely Man of Faith, I have it right here. In the footnote on page 46, he says, the reason for introducing an element of coercion into the great Sinai covenant, in contradistinction to the biblical story, which makes it sound like we chose it, lies in the idea that covenantal man feels overpowered and defeated by God, even when he appears to be a free agent of his own will. In other words, what the Rav is saying is that primarily we have to choose it, but even when we choose it, we still feel overwhelmed by the thought of choosing God's will, of accepting the Torah. But primarily we're supposed to be choosers. The imagery of Kafalei Har Kegigis is this feeling of unworthiness, even at the moment that I make the choice. But our job is to make the choice. Our job is to choose the Torah. And perhaps, I was thinking today, and I'm sure someone says it, but perhaps this is the reason we read Megillas Rus on the Yom Tov of Shuas. Because Rus is the story of a woman who decided to choose it when she had every excuse in the world not to choose it. Her sister-in-law didn't choose it. Orpah didn't choose it. Naomi was trying to encourage her not to choose it. It doesn't make sense to choose it. And yet we still show up and we say, I want it. I choose it. I'm choosing a life of Torah. I'm converting to Yiddishkeit. I'm converting to Judaism, this Shavuos. Like the Piazetz, the Rebbe famously described in his diary, in the Tzav Viziras, on his 40th birthday, when he asked himself, when he challenged himself, what more can I do for Hashem? And he decided, he said, what I'm going to do for my 40th birthday is I'm going to convert to Judaism. The Piazetz, the Rebbe, the Holy Warsaw, the Holy Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. The tzaddik that he was at the age of 40 after a life of Torah and mitzvot, of leadership, of writing brilliant volumes on Torah thought, he decides on his 40th birthday to convert to Judaism. What does that mean? He writes, that's what he writes in his diary. He says, I feel like a wax figurine of myself, like a painting, like a portrait of myself, but I want to be alive. I want to be the real thing. And therefore, what do I accept? Poshut roitza ani me'ata lizgair. I want to convert. So many of the laws of conversion are derived from Kabbalah Satorah. We read the story of Rus, the great story of a woman who with great Mesiras Nefesh decided to convert. Because it's an invitation, Shavuos is an invitation for every one of us to answer those questions of that prospective convert. To say that, I also want to formally accept these things. I want to be able to choose it. I don't want, like we started off tonight, I don't want the tzitzis to just be placed on me by my mother, and the tefillin to be placed on me by my father, and my Rebbe to stuff me with a bunch of facts of Torah. But I want to choose to make myself a Jew. Aaron Razel, who's a sweet singer in Eretz Yisrael, some of his songs are very interesting. So one of his songs, he sings about a question that was asked to Rav Shach Zatzal, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, passed away in 2001. Aaron Razel, in one of his songs, he says that Rav Shach was asked the question, why do we say in the morning in the bracha, why do we say, Shelo asani gai, Hashem, you didn't make me a non-Jew. Why not focus on the more positive experience of Hashem? Thank you for making me a Jew. Shasani Yehudi, why do we say, Shelo asani gai? Why focus on what I'm not? Focus on what you are. And Rav Elazar Menachem Ben Shach Zatzal answered the question. He said, no, because Hashem doesn't make you a Jew. Hashem made you not like the rest of the world. But you have to choose to make yourself a Yehudi. You have to make yourself a Jew. So let's end by going back to the questions that we asked the convert. And let's answer them a little bit. Let's raise them as food for thought for ourselves. Do we accept God as the one eternal God, creator of the universe? Do we believe that even right now when the world is so chaotic on a certain level, do I feel that Hashem is truly the one and only God of the world? Do I choose that? Do I accept that? Do I really believe that? Because if a convert says no, then his conversion's off the table. Come back to the base, and when you're ready, will not be depicted in any image. When we daven, who do we picture ourselves talking to? Do we have a deep understanding of what it means to stand, to be omid lifnei Hashem? How does that impact my emunah, knowing that God is not physical? Do I think about that concept? What does that concept mean to me? Do I accept that God is the giver of the Torah, both written and oral, to the Jewish people? And if I do believe, as we come to Shavuos once again, 3,300 plus years since Kabbalah Satorah, if I really believe that Hashem gave me this great gift called Torah, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, so how does a day go by without learning Torah? How is it possible that I ever miss a day without picking up a sefer, of taking the time to learn, if I really believe that? Do you promise to faithfully adhere to the commandments of the Torah, to observe Shabbos, Kashrus? When we hear a new detail of a halacha, of a Hilchos Shabbos that we never heard before, do we say, I never heard that before and I'm not interested in hearing that before? Or do I have the courage, again, like the father of the woman I described earlier today, who I paid a Shiva call to, right, who was always eager to learn new things, and if he never heard it before, but now he heard it, he wanted to incorporate it into his life. When you hear a new halacha, am I prepared to fulfill all the mitzvahs, or do I roll my eyes, right? We're testing the ger. Are you serious about it? Are you prepared? And sometimes, by the way, these gerim, they show up and they've got their binder of Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Brachos and Hilchos Kashrus. Do we know our Torah as well as they do? Do we study it as seriously and answer the questions as seriously as they do? Do we understand that until now as a non-Jew, you are not subject to any of the Torah's punishments for failure to observe the mitzvos? Do we understand consequences? Do we have a Yiras Shamayim? Do we have Yiras HaOnesh? And I'll be the first to admit, not enough. Not nearly enough. The Imre Yemes one time, his son came into the room because he thought his father was calling him. And he stood there. His father was leaning over the Gemara, the Ger Rebbe, and he barely noticed anyone in the room. Finally, he looked up. He saw his son. And his son says to him, because he thought his father had summoned him, he said, Tati, what do you need? And he looked at his son with those fiery eyes, and, you know, don't try this on your own kids, maybe. But he looked at his son, the Imre Yemes was a very intense person. He looked at his son with his fiery eyes, and he says, what do I need? I need a lot more Yiras Shamayim. And his son said, okay, I thought like maybe you needed a cold drink or something. And he tiptoed out of the room, let his father get back to his Gemara. But do we understand that there are consequences? That it's not just a game, that we're playing a very serious game, with consequences positive and negative for our action? Do we embrace the history, destiny, and fate of the Jewish people? Are we prepared to confront the anti-Semitism that faces the world today? Or are we scared? Are we scared to be a Jew? Are we embarrassed to be a Jew? Are we prepared to make that ultimate sacrifice, God forbid, if need be, to give up our life, to proudly accept our Yiddishkeit, to be Jews? And do we accept that final question, that Mashiach has yet to come, but we're longing for Mashiach every day? How much time do we actually think about Mashiach every day? And do we really believe in the concept at all? These are the questions we ask Ger. And again, as we read the story of Rus on Shavuos, we think about, I also want to be a convert. I also want to choose to stay on Sinai. I don't want to just be forced to the mountain. Let's be Jews, in a sense, to return to Hashem. And let's be Bali choosers, in a certain sense. To be owners over our choices. To really choose a life of Torah. To make the Torah our own. As the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Amarava b'tchila nikras al shemo. At first you're learning Hashem's Torah, but once you learn it and internalize it, ulevesof nikras al shemo. As David HaMelech said, b'toras Hashem cheftso, uvetorah so, yehegeh yomam v'layla. First it's God's Torah, but then the Torah becomes ours. So like that chassid standing by the Kotzker saying, I came to Kotz because I want something for my own. And Rebbe, you're going to show me how to think for myself. And like that 7-year-old Moshe Machlis looking at that cynical college-age student with the nose ring and asking him, why do you have that in your nose? Who are you trying to be? As the Ramchal raises that question in his Derech Eitz Chaim and in the Mesilas Yesharim, what's the tachlis of our life? What do we want our life to look like? And to be able, again, to answer those questions. Like my friend on that train who was asked by that Baal Tshuva, when did you choose to become a Yid? So my friends, I give us a bracha. Maybe you'll be able to answer the question. You know when I chose? Shavuos Tavshin Pei. This year. This was the year that I chose. I made a conscious decision to answer these questions for myself and to choose a life. The way that Rus made that choice and became the mother of David HaMelech, the mother of that entire dynasty, and by extension, the mother of Mashiach. So, Amir Tashem, our choices should also move us towards that great day of the Geula Shleima B'mehera B'Yameinu Amen. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Yantiv. Don't forget to daven Maariv and to count Sfira.